Well, Sunday mornings, been looking at 1 Corinthians, but knowing that it is Christmas tomorrow, I knew I couldn't look at 1 Corinthians. I had to have some sort of Christmas theme, which puts a lot of heat on you. So you really got to do two Christmas messages in 1 week. Saying to Linda, I tried to be tricky for tomorrow. I'm going to do a Christmas message without looking at any Christmas verses. So you can look forward to that if you're here, see if I achieve it. But today we're going to be looking at some various verses that are familiar to us when it comes to Christmas. Before we do that, though, let's ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the time of the year. And we know that this wasn't the time our Saviour was born. Yet, Lord, it's recorded in your word. It's a time that we should remember and praise and give thanks. And so we do that this day and this time of the year. And we thank you that it is a literal event that we can look back on. And we know that it has had everlasting consequences and blessings and benefits for those who will accept it and receive it in faith. And so we pray that that may be the case this morning as we stop and consider our Saviour once again. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think it's a secret to anyone now that Hosanna is pregnant. If you don't know that, you've probably been living under a rock. She's told nearly everybody. But on Friday, Hosanna and Josh went and got their first ultrasound. And it started to bring back memories of when Linda was pregnant and those times where you go off and get those ultrasounds. And admittedly, they've all blurred into one now. I can't sort of distinguish one ultrasound from the other, but I have that memory of going at various times, especially the first time. There's that little bit of fear of, is the child healthy? Is there a heartbeat? Is there all those sort of things? And so there's a little bit of fear there, but apart from finding out that they're healthy and also, if you want, if they're a boy or girl, there's not much more that you can discover about the child and what you can expect. You know, for Linda and I, we didn't want to know if it was a boy or girl for the first two, so they were nice surprises, but for the third one, we decided to find out, so we got told there was a boy. But you don't get told anything else. You don't get told their personality. You know, the lady or the man doing the ultrasound, oh, you've got a very serious one here. It's going to grow up and be a very serious child. Oh, a very happy personality this one's going to have. You don't get to know their personality. You don't know what career path they're going to take. When we discovered that it was a boy with Josh, she didn't sort of, oh, I know, yes, he's going to be a carpenter. We can see that. You don't know what career path they're going to take. You don't know what they're going to achieve in life. We didn't get told, yes, you've got a little teacher there, and it's going to be a very noisy one as well. And you can work out which one that was, all right? It could be either of them. But we don't get told those things, and we don't even get, thankfully, you don't get told maybe some of the heartaches they have to go through as well. And as parents, that's probably good news. It's good to not to know too much about the future of your child, really, especially if there's some not so nice things that may happen. And so when even as you hold the little baby and you look at them, you don't really know what the future holds for them. I suspect Mrs. Wesley, holding little John or Charles, didn't know what to expect and what was going to come about from these little babies. I suspect Mrs. Hitler, holding little Adolf, didn't know what to expect as this little Adolf grew up into an adult. I don't know if she's Mrs. Iscariot, but when she was holding little Judas, I'm sure she didn't know what to expect as this child grew up and what he would do. You don't get told those things. But if we go back 2,000 years, we discover that Mary was given far more information about her first child than really anyone gets to be told about their child, far more than any ultrasound could ever tell you. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 26, chapter 1 and verse 26, and look at it with this in mind. Not just the account of the angel coming to Mary, but what she gets told she can expect from her first child. This is beyond any ultrasound. This is something special. It says there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 onwards, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." If we were going to put that in Australian slang, she thought, "Goodness gracious, what is he going to say to me? All right, this is scary." "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." Now that would have been a surprise to her straight away. "And bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." That's the first thing. Mary knew she was having a boy before he was born. Now that's about all you can get when you have an ultrasound, if you're having a boy or a girl. But she understood that she was having a boy. Verse 32, it goes on, "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." And so Mary also knew that this boy was going to be great and do great things. And the greatest of all was he was going to be the Son of God. Now that's news. Goes on and says, "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So Mary also knew as she was carrying this child that he was going to be a king who sits on the throne of David. And then in verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And so Mary knew that this king also was not just going to reign for a short time, but his kingdom will be forever. And so when you're wondering what your child is going to be as the child is growing in the womb, for a mother, she had a lot of information. And I have no doubt that Joseph also told her of his account of when he met the angel as well. Over in Matthew, I'll read it to you. It says, this is what the angel said to Joseph, that he said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." This was a special child. Verse, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son." So he knew he was having a son as well. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And so Mary knew, no doubt, from Joseph that, yes, we're going to call him Jesus, and he is going to be the Saviour. So I can only imagine that Mary would have been very excited about this firstborn child. This was going to be a very special child, a child like no other. He was going to be the Son of God. He was going to do great things. He was going to be the king on David's throne, and he is going to reign forever. He is going to be Jesus the Savior. That's pretty exciting. And if through her pregnancy she was starting to have some doubts about that, particularly when they head to Jerusalem and they're at Bethlehem, and instead of being born in the palace like a king would have been born normally, he ends up being born in that stable. If she had some doubts, are we getting some things wrong here? Well, then she has that unexpected visit from the shepherds who confirm they saw an angel. and then a multitude of angels. And I'm sure they told Mary, Joseph, exactly what they saw and what they had been told. We're told in Luke 2 and verse 10, the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." They've already been told that. "Which is Christ," that meaning, "which is the Messiah, the Lord." And so they had been told by the angel that the one that is born, that you'll find, this is the Messiah, the Lord, the Saviour of Israel. And if you were, I'm not sure where you are, but if you're at Luke chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." So they went and told everyone, this is what the angel told us about this child, that he is the Messiah, the Lord, the Saviour. And it says there in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And so no doubt they shared what the angel and the angels had told them that night as well. These shepherds shared this. And so there would have been so many things going through the mind of this new mother. What she had been told at the beginning, and then going through that pregnancy, and then with the birth, that reminder and that confirmation that this is the Messiah, the King of Israel. Yet I wonder if she fully understood what being the Messiah and the Saviour really meant. Because turn to John chapter 19, would you please? You know, we can just turn over to John chapter 19 quite easily, quite quickly. But really we're turning the pages of time, and we've jumped nearly 33 years from this event that we've just read here, where the shepherds have come and said, here is the Messiah, the Lord, the Saviour. And all the things that Mary had discovered in those 9 months and been told. Yet this is what we read in John chapter 19 verse 25 as we've skipped the pages of time around 33 years. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene." Wow, that's different, isn't it? If Mary was like other Jews, those days of her pregnancy and that night of the birth, she wasn't thinking of this picture, seeing her son hanging on a cross. She wasn't thinking of that when she thought of Messiah, the Saviour. She wasn't thinking of anything like that. The Jewish people, when they thought of the Messiah, they thought of a conquering king who came to save them from the perils of the Romans and those who were against them. And they think that to this very day as well. And that's why they didn't want to hear a Messiah who told them they were sinners and they needed to repent. They weren't interested in that type of Messiah. That's why they didn't want to listen to a Messiah who wasn't interested in destroying the Romans and was more interested in trying to make people right with God. We don't want that sort of Messiah. We're expecting a Messiah who will be the ruler, who will destroy the Romans and set up his kingdom. And I assume that Mary had the same expectations as everybody else. And while the angel confirmed that the baby in a womb was the promised Messiah, I do wonder if she really understood what that meant. Especially, I'll read it again, especially when the angel Gabriel said this. This was in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is what Mary got told by the angel when she first discovered that she was blessed to carry the Messiah. There was no mention of, and he shall be rejected of his people. He shall be spat upon. He shall be whipped till near death. That he shall have to carry his cross. He shall be nailed to a cross. As she stood there and saw Jesus on the cross, I'm sure this was nothing like she was expecting. I don't think in her wildest dreams, as she held that little baby, the shepherds came in. The angel said, "This is the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior." She was thinking, yes, and they're going to spit on you and curse you and nail you to a cross. She would have been thinking, this is the King who will come and reign. And I don't know when it dawned on Mary. I'm only assuming these things. I'm guessing it was after the crucifixion that she could go back and look at the prophecies of the Messiah and certain things made sense. When she heard read, I don't think they had their own personal Bibles, but when she heard read from Isaiah, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I suspect it wasn't until after the crucifixion these things made sense. When she heard from Psalm 22, verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." It wasn't until after the crucifixion it all made sense. I wonder when it dawned on her that the Passover lamb, how an innocent lamb had to die for the sins of the people so that God's wrath will pass over them. I wonder when it clicked that my son is the Passover lamb. Before the crucifixion? I suspect after the crucifixion. Most Jews, even the disciples, they didn't realize that the Old Testament talked about two comings of the Messiah. The Jews of today only see the second coming still. The first was when he would come to die for the sins of the world as the Lamb of God. And that's the type of Savior he had to come and be first. The second coming is when he will come and deliver his people Israel and set up his kingdom and do what the angel said he will do with Mary. And although there is, seems to be, as far as recorded in the scriptures, and except for one passage that we will look at in a tick, but there seems to be no real hint that he was going to be a sacrificial lamb during the conception and the pregnancy and the birth of the Lord Jesus, we know that he fulfilled all the prophecies that were spoken of. There were over 100 prophecies of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scholars say, and he fulfilled all of them. We're told in the Gospel of Luke, if you turn over there in Luke chapter 2, if you're still there, there was only one instance, I think, we see a little bit of what would come of him explained to Mary. It says there in Luke 22, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, if you look in the law of Moses, you'd discover that this time was about 40 days after his birth. So they would have hung around Jerusalem and Bethlehem, that area, for 40 days, and then they would have taken him to the temple for this time. And it says there in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel," which is just a fancy way of saying the coming of the Messiah. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is, the Lord's Messiah. You will not die until you see the Messiah. Now, that's a reality. And the Jews are right. He should be alive today if he hasn't seen him. But he did see him. Because it says there in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, I want you to notice the next few verses. Simeon says about Jesus, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's a little bit different. And the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. But get these next two verses. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, there's a fair bit in there, but let me just explain. At first, Simeon spoke of glad tidings. This is an exciting time for the Gentiles and also for Israel. This baby was the salvation of the Lord that was prophesied about. That's exciting news. She knew that. Then he says that he will be spoken against and bring about the fall and rise of many in Israel. Now that could be him taking over the kingdom. But then he says to Mary, and a sword shall pierce through thy soul also. Great sorrow is going to come upon you, Mary. It'll be like someone's taken a sword and just run it through your heart. And I suspect, as we read there in John, as Jesus was crucified and Mary was there at the cross, as she looked up, that's exactly what was happening. Like any mother seeing her child on a cross like that, it would have been like a sword had pierced right through her soul and heart. And I wonder if the words of Simeon rang in her ears. Is this what you meant? And we know that Jesus did fulfill the prophecies of the first coming of the Messiah to the letter. And that could be a series in itself. But the exciting thing for us is, if he fulfilled the prophecies of the first coming, well, then there are many prophecies of his second coming that we can rejoice and look forward to. There are simply the prophecies that the angel Gabriel said to Mary on the day of her conception, where he was going to be the king and he will reign on David's throne and he will reign forever. The wise men who came looking for Jesus sometime after said, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He was the King of the Jews. And Mary was the one who gave birth to him. But she's still waiting to see that come to pass. One day she will. I think it's interesting where you have that inscription that was the accusation that was made against him. It's interesting that the wise men said, where is born the King of the Jews? And the accusation that was written is, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Like that was false. And although the sign was there maybe to ridicule or mock him, not exactly sure, or maybe God just made sure in his sovereignty it was there. But we do know that one day he will reign not only just over Israel, but all mankind. Philippians tells us in chapter 2, verse 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The baby that Mary bore wasn't just the King of the Jews. He was the King of kings and he was the King of all mankind. And I'm happy to testify that I believe what the angel said to Mary. And I also believe the testimony of what is recorded Joseph heard. And I also believe the testimony of the shepherds that is recorded. And I also believe what the wise men said, that this child that Mary born was the Son of God. And that he was the Savior, not just the Savior of Israel one day, but he was the Savior of fallen man. As the angel said to Joseph, "You will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And you know, as a young boy, I grew up, had the privilege of growing up, going to church and Christmas Day from the day I was born. And for most of you, I suspect you're the same. Now, I've had, this will be my 56th Christmas Day, as long as I get there tomorrow, right, of hearing that. And I know for there were a lot of years that I believed as a little boy that yes, Jesus, this Jesus who was born of Mary is the Son of God and he is the Savior. I believed that. But there was a day when he wasn't, I didn't just believe that he was the Savior, but there was a day I made him my Savior. And you know, there's a very big difference. And for every child here, young teenager, young adult, whoever, to the oldest, we need to be able to not just declare and testify that he is the Savior, but you have to be able to say he is my Savior. I believe he came because I needed to be saved because I'm a sinner and I could not save myself. And I believe that when he hung on that cross, it was not just for all mankind, it was also for me. And I've asked him to be my Savior. For me, I can look back to the 7th of January, 1980, and that's where I made sure I said, "Please be my Savior once and for all." And I trust you'd be able to look back to the day. You may not be able to remember the date, but the day when you made the Savior your Savior. Otherwise, it's all in vain for you. I trust you can say that Jesus is the Savior and he is mine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus for us. I pray that each person here who has had the privilege and blessing of hearing the word preached so often and heard about Jesus so often won't miss him as their own personal Savior. Pray for every child here, for every person, that we will know that day when Jesus became my Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.